In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to talk about the Booker Prize award-winning book adaptation, The Life of Pi. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatre, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you.
I'm excited. Rashmi and I are both excited.
We're really excited to talk about this one.
Yeah,
actually, this one's going to be an unusual review because I think we all kind of know how we feel about the movie. We had a kind of a dinner gathering for local critics following the movie, so we got to talk about it a little bit, but Life of Pi is a movie that I think we're
That's another movie.
That would be a good movie.
Life of Pi is a movie that we're all excited to talk about. Yazdi, you have lent us the book some time ago. Horribly and frustratingly, I wasn't able to read it before the movie, but Rashmi, you got a chance.
I speed read the first 12 chapters.
It's one of my favorite books. Yeah.
You've been telling me that for a long time.
I wish I'd taken your advice, there was a movie adaptation.
You'd been telling us about how much you had loved the book. It had been one of your favorite for years and years and years. The trailer had me intrigued. There's a boy on a boat with a tiger, and none of it made sense to me, but nonetheless, it did have a kind of a certain intrigue to me. So, I was really excited to see this movie. It was directed by Ang Lee. Most famous, I think, for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Brokeback Mountain,
yeah. He also did that horrible version of The Hulk, which I will dismiss from the annals of history.
He did a great movie called The Ice Storm.
But briefly, the movie, it's described here on their official website as a groundbreaking movie event about a young man who survives a disaster at sea and is hurtled into an epic journey of adventure and discovery. While cast away, he forms an amazing and unexpected connection with another survivor, a fearsome tiger. So the boy on a boat with a tiger is pretty much what we need to know about this movie going into it. Who would like to give us their opinion first?
Yeah, so as I said, this book is one of my favorite books of all time, and I've actually long considered certain portions of the book as clearly unfilmable. So I obviously went into this with a fair deal of expectations. And here's the thing. One, this is easily one of the best looking films I've ever seen. It's really, really a treat for the eyes. Two, it deeply touched me. And three, like the book it is based on, it makes you think. It asks a lot of the big questions. And these are three things that seldom come together in the cinemas. And I honestly cannot reasonably ask for more from a film. This movie slayed me. It devastated me.
Wow.
I agree with you, Yazdi. I mean, Life of Pi is such a beloved book, and whether or not you've read it, after you've seen this film, it will feel as beloved to you as well. Ang Lee, I congratulate you. I love this movie.
Yeah. A third commendation here for this movie. This is so visually sumptuous, and there are not many movies that I can recommend to see in 3D. We will definitely talk about it during our review, but this is up there. This is really a 3D showcase. But the movie itself emotionally had me mesmerized from the very outset. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before, and Yazdi, it's so beautiful. Like you said, it is like watching a painting for 2 hours, and it's beautiful, and it's never boring, and it's never gimmicky in its use of visuals. Everything seems to be additive. So unlike anything I've seen, and probably one of my favorite movies of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you've literally stolen the words out of my mouth, Joe. I mean, let's go to the 3D, because I think that's so inherent in the beautifulness of the film. I mean, the way this unfolds on the big screen is just unbelievably beautiful. This is a must-watch on the big screen, that's one. And if you can, definitely watch this in 3D, because the 3D is so immersive. And at times, I actually forgot I was wearing my glasses. And only did I realize I was wearing my glasses when I was literally wiping the tears away from my eyes, because I was that moved.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I think this film represents almost a new generation in terms of, you know, visual imagery and CGI, in terms of what seems to be able to be put on screen. It almost seems a tremendous leap forward just in terms of the technology. And I just bow at the feet of whoever came up with, you know, all the visuals and designed the CGI for this movie. I mean, it literally, the movie has several scenes which will fill you with wonderment. I mean, your jaws will be on the floor, just happy at what you're seeing on screen. And I mean, this, and there are entire portions of the movie, in fact, the entire middle half, which by necessity would have to have been done by CGI. And normally I'm very critical of movies which are very CGI heavy, but here it's all at the service of the plot. And even though it's a little too gleaming and a little too polished for my taste, even then it never felt unrealistic. It never felt like I was watching animation. Maybe it did for the two of you, but it just is more than anything else, and it's many other things, but it's more than anything else, a tremendous technological advancement, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think without Avatar, this movie would not have existed, mm-hmm. because I think visually it has many of those same... It's clearly a CG world. You know, there's nothing about what we see on screen at any point that doesn't feel rendered to me. But like you said, Yasti, I mean, it didn't feel like a synthetic world. And it was all very Oz-like. I mean, that was the thing that kept coming to my mind, mm-hmm. in that the movie kept reminding me of being in this otherworldly place. So, you know, Wizard of Oz is something that keeps popping into my mind as I think about this movie. It's nothing like Wizard of Oz, so don't get, you know, people listening to this don't think it's one of those kind of movies. But just that whole aesthetic is just, it's incredible. And unlike you, Rashmi, where you said, you know, if you can see this in 3D, I almost say don't see it unless you can see it in 3D in a good theater, because I think you will lose a lot of the visual impact, maybe not emotional, but this is a movie that I actually want to go to see in the theater again before it goes away. I don't feel satisfied by having seen it just the one time, and it won't work for me in the home environment as well as it did in the theater. So, you know, this is one of those movies that very rarely do I drag Rashmi to see a film a second time. But really, I think we absolutely must see this.
Absolutely. You won't get any arguments from me. I think the film's very ambitious in the sense that I think some people may criticize it for being too much of a faith religion type movie. And for me, that didn't happen. I think although it asks the questions about faith and God and religion, the balance between actually the storytelling and the religion questions are done so well, I didn't feel manipulated at all. But I can see that maybe some people may feel that they're a little bit manipulated, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, and I sense that a lot of people, at least some of the critics we spoke with afterwards, they really had a problem with the structure of the movie, which actually sticks remarkably close to the actual book, where there's this framing device where, you know, somebody who is a stand-in for the writer actually starts, you know, asking, you know, meets a person and the person starts narrating their story. So it seems very formal and awkward, but I think I would have thought that this movie is so rich with ideas and so intense with philosophy that even before it gets into the main part of the story, there's this whole preface about religion and so forth. I would have thought the movie would have just shunned all of that and gotten to the main action right away. But I think the movie is better for really sticking with the book. It kind of carries through every part of the book very faithfully, and I think is better for it because it doesn't deprive you of the full experience. And I think there's certain parts which may resonate more with other people than others. But I think, you know, for the people who like the philosophy, it'll be there. But for the people who just want to be wowed by the visuals, you know, they will be wowed as well.
But then it has that third dimension too, Yasti, which is this emotionality. Mm-hmm. And the way that Ang Lee's captured that sense of family and who Pai is and why he is the way he is and his family. I mean, literally, I was sobbing. This reminded me of my own family. There's this beautiful scene at the beginning where the family are sitting around eating dinner and they're having a dinner conversation. And I was literally taken back to my childhood. This is so authentic.
But, you know, I mean, so that added to the relatability of the movie for you. But I don't think I needed to have, I didn't have that childhood. And I don't think the fact that that scene was there was necessarily added to the movie. Obviously, your personal experience of it, it did. But can we talk a little bit about the accessibility of the movie? Because we had a short discussion on our way out of the theater about whether or not this is a movie that you can recommend universally. And I feel still quite strongly that this is a movie that I would tell anyone to go see. But, you know, Yazdi, I think, you know, you mentioned that there is an element of people that might not enjoy this for what it is. And I totally get that now. I mean, as I stepped away from the movie, you know, I think it is very surreal and dreamlike. And I think unless you're, you know, in a kind of an ethereal, you know, frame of mind, you may not accept this. If you try and take this as a standard narrative movie, it may fail. And so I'm thinking there are people now that, you know, I'm not sure, like my boss is a big movie fan. I'm not sure I would tell him to see this one because it's not real enough. But accessibility, what's the...
I mean, I fear for the commercial prospects of the movie because I think once you can get somebody's bum into the seat, I know they'll have a great time. Right. They may not get certain parts of it. They may not enjoy certain parts of it, but it'll be a true experience in quotes for them. I think my fear is to get people into those cinema seats. And, you know, it doesn't have any big name actors. And, you know, it's a very difficult story to sell. But I think at its core, it's a fable. It's not meant to be real. It's not meant to be necessarily very direct. You know, at its core, it's just about man versus beast. And it's about any kind of an unusual relationship where there's a predator and there is, you know, somebody who is in lesser power. So I think even little kids will get that. And I'm glad that they made the choice to make this movie PG-13, because I think maybe the very young kids might be a little traumatized by some of the scenes in the movie. But I think, you know, if you're 10, 11 onwards, I think you would enjoy this movie tremendously. So I understand what you're saying, and I brought this up, but I would wholeheartedly recommend this movie. If I can get more people to go see this movie when it opens, I think my job will be done.
Yeah, I'm with you, Yazdi. I think that, you know, if you're all going in and expecting something like Die Hard or Titanic, this isn't the film that you're going to see.
And so that's
equally, but equally, it's not the Golden Compass or Harry Potter either. So it's not that fantastical, magical film either. For me, it's exactly in the middle. There's enough action in it, but then there's enough emotion and mysticalness, I think,
that makes it accessible enough for a general audience, because that's my basic
I think so.
Question.
I think you just got to know something about the film before you go in. You have to know what this is about, because initially I was a little bit worried that this was going to be a little bit Disney-esque. I was almost worried that they were going to give a voice to the tiger, that there was going to be some formal conversation between Pi and the tiger because they're on the boat. I'm really glad they didn't do that. This is not a talking animal movie. This
isn't that way in the book, right?
No. So just for our viewers' sake, just to be very clear, this is a story about a family which is moving in a large ship doing a cross-Atlantic journey, and they used to own a zoo, so they have all their animals with them on the ship. The ship capsizes, and, you know, the little boy survives on a lifeboat along with a few animals, and he forms his own little ecosystem on the boat. There's a hyena, a zebra, an orangutan, and the tiger and the little boy, and it's almost like his own little Noah's Ark, and it kind of goes from that point, setting up this little fable, and that forms the meat of the whole movie.
It's a boy on a boat with a tiger.
Boy on a boat with a tiger. And the tiger is not like Tigger. You know, this is a proper,
this is
a proper tiger who's going to kill and eat and try to survive in the wild.
Yeah. And I think the other thing it did beautifully for me, and anyone with animals, especially cats, as we have, the relationship between Pi and the tiger is just amazing to watch. The behavior of the large cat, if you have cats, you're going to just fall in love with that, even though it's a tiger and it could eat you.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that impressed me the most about the visuals was, you know, normally when you see synthetic animals and beasts, there is this whole uncanny valley thing that comes along where you don't quite buy the animal as being truly real. There's something about its movement which is off. At no point in this movie did I think that I was seeing anything other than a real tiger. And I think they cleverly interleaved, mm-hmm. Real footage and CG footage, but it was done so perfectly that it's one of these movies that I don't even understand how it was made. Everything was perfect.
I mean, I mentioned this after we came out of the movie, but repeatedly through the entire movie, I was telling myself again and again, how did they do this? I could not believe that they were able to render this on screen. And I do want to take a minute to stop and sing the praises of Ang Lee. I mean, is there another director working right now who so effortlessly slips into the context and story of the movie he's making? So Christopher Nolan, right? Every movie of his, you can tell it's a Christopher Nolan movie. Martin Scorsese, you can tell it's a Martin Scorsese movie. The great thing about Ang Lee is that he has zero vanity. He has no, particular, particular style or particular context or anything which identifies him, as this is an Ang Lee movie. I mean, look at the kinds of movies he's done. He's made a kung fu martial arts film. He's done a Western. He's done a biting suburban satire. He's done a film about gay cowboys. He's done a film about Chinese espionage in the 50s. And now he does a movie about this Indian family. I mean, he just completely is at the service of the story he's telling. And I think one of the bigger accomplishments of the movie is this is not a fake India. This is not a touristy India. This is not an India seen through the eyes of a Chinese man living in the United States. This seems to me like an India that I knew. This is so genuine. Everything, even the choice to use the actual Indian Tamil dialect, when they're talking. I mean, this is a very true to the bone rendering, and I have tremendous respect for that.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the only thing that ties those films together that you mentioned, especially, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Brokeback Mountain, this one, is the beautiful cinematography that he manages to get in these huge, epic visuals that are just breathtaking. I mean, the other thing I wanted to mention along with the direction was, for me, and I never normally noticed this, the editing. This was marvelous editing. The switches back and forth in time were just done flawlessly. And then going from a very small view on a boat to this huge view of the ocean. And I was delighted to see the front cover appear. Mm. So there's one scene in the movie, which is the front cover of the book. And that was just, what a delight. Yeah. What a delight to see that.
And I think the only other thing is how I gauge, I went into this movie with a lot of trepidation. But at the end of the day, I think the only thing that matters is, 20 minutes before the movie is going to end, you are immensely and completely moved about a relationship between a boy and a tiger, okay? As bizarre as this sounds, if a movie can make you feel invested in the relationship between a boy and a tiger, I think it's done its job. I mean, imagine the level of difficulty. I mean, it's done its job.
Did you guys cry?
I cried.
I...
Come on, Joe.
No, I'm really trying to remember hard here. I think I choked up. I didn't have tears streaming, but I think I did well up because there was that one moment that was extremely powerful.
Yeah. Take tissues with you, please. I mean, I was so embarrassed. I was sobbing. I mean, it was just, it's so moving. This is such a moving film, and it's not right at the end. It's all the way through. The other thing I noticed was the score. The score was so good in this movie. And thank God, I mean, and I love A.R. Rahman, but thank you, it wasn't an A.R. Rahman score. It was just a great score.
Do you know who scored it?
I think it's a Thomas Newman.
Thomas Newman, yeah.
American Beauty fame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else?
No, I think the opening credits...
We've gushed and gushed.
Yes. I think the opening credits alone are worth the price of admission.
I'm telling you.
Just the opening credits.
How stunning.
I mean, it's not only stunning, it's perfect use of 3D. And the music that's playing sets the tone for the whole movie. There's this little Indian song and the colors. And it, again, the difficulty of this cannot be overstated.
I'm going to cry again. Okay, Joe, why don't you go first?
Go see this movie. Life of Pi is easily one of my favorite movies of the year and will definitely be a movie that I tell everyone to go see. You know, I'm a little worried about its accessibility, but at the end of the day, I think anyone that has any interest in cinema, I mean, this is one of the great spectacles of cinema. You know, this is what we've witnessed here, I think, is a game changer. It's a movie that is unlike anything that I've seen before it, and I don't think anything like it can be anything other than influenced by it. So, you know, this is a milestone, and I don't know why I'm reserving my 10. I think...
Yeah, we're at the end of the year.
It's maybe because...
Come on.
Maybe because Christopher Nolan didn't direct it, but no, it's a solid 9 out of 10, and clearly one of my favorite films of the year so far. I hope this gets praise lavished on it by the Academy. I hope that people out there just go see this, go experience this movie and experience it in 3D.
Yes, Dee.
There is no other way to say it. This movie is a masterpiece. That's it. It's as simple as that. And it's just visually a giant leap forward. I cannot wait. I mean, you guys were thinking down the road. I cannot wait to see this movie again. I want to see it, you know, the day it opens. And, you know, if you don't like this movie after having seen it, you can't be my friend. It's as simple as that. This movie might be the singular achievement of this year. I give it a 9.5 out of 10. I really cannot expect more from a movie than what this gives me.
So why not 10?
And I'm going to back it up to a 9 out of 10. I haven't given a 9.5 to anything this year.
He's never given a 10 either.
I know. Get ready for your Oscar nomination, Mr. Lee. Run out and see this one. If you aren't drowned by the gorgeous story, you will be swept away by the visual effects. This is a must see. I'm going to give this one a 10. This is a 10.
I'm not surprised by
this
that
is
at all.
Just unbelievable.
And just to correct, it was scored by Michael Dana,
not Thomas Newman.
So just sorry, Michael. We didn't give you credit for that.
Honestly, I think this is going to wipe the board. I think this is going to be the big Oscar film. I'm very hopeful it is.
I think it was originally going to be released on Christmas Day and they moved it up. And I think that was a very wise choice because it might get lost and all that, all the movies which get released late in the year. So
this is a Thanksgiving opening week. Yeah, this is, I'm very hopeful that people are going to watch this over that Thanksgiving weekend and then give thanks for such a great movie.
Pure cinema.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. That's that one scene in the moonlight.
Oh, yeah, with the jellyfish.
My God.
Okay.
I think I cried at the beauty of that.
Yeah. I mean, here we are talking about a boy in a boat with a tiger and jellyfish. None of this makes sense to you if you haven't seen the movie. So, yeah, go see it, then listen to this podcast again and let us know what you think. Mail at movieworldeyes.com for comments. Twitter.com/movieworldeyes. Do follow us. We at least tweet infrequently, but you'll always know when an episode comes out. And facebook.com/moviewallers as well. Join our growing community of MovieWallers listeners. Interact with us on the site. We do check it periodically, almost daily, in fact. So check us out and let us know what you think of these movies. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
Me as well.